And it's my friend Mike King who's helping coordinate some stuff around Jacob's well. And he says, Tim, all the air conditioners are down in the sanctuary. It's 95 degrees in here. I feel like I'm in the South. This is great. And we had people who stayed here and worked till after midnight. These people that are genius with air conditioners who don't charge us. They just come over here and work. And as of like 4 o'clock this afternoon, this thing was held together by spit, scotch tape, a couple paper clips, and a safety pin. And it was still cool in here. And then about half an hour, this one died. And so we are actually in the process. Folks, this is what it's like when you have a 70-year-old building that you're really thankful for because it's so cool. This is the part that's not so cool, is it? So anyway, I'm glad you're here tonight, and we acknowledge that it's hot. If you feel like you're going to be pass out, then just lean over on the person next to you. Say, excuse me. No, just kidding. Whitney said we have water in the back. Please help yourself. Get up. Don't feel bashful about getting up and walking out and taking care of yourself if you feel like you're overheated. And on top of that, tonight we're going to be doing something a little bit different, which I know is kind of par for the course around here. But we're going to be doing something different that's going to allow some latitude in terms of how long we decide to go tonight, and that is this. For a while, I have been trying to figure out, as a community, how we create space to corporately reckon with God's activity in our midst. Right? One of the things that the Scripture talks about over and over and over again is accounting for the deeds of God in our lives. And so the implication is that as people who follow Jesus, as people who follow Yahweh, we're storytellers. We're invited to be storytellers. And as you look through the Old Testament, you see the recounting of story upon story upon story upon story about God's activity in the lives of His people. And that when the people of God come together, they are constantly rehearsing God's activity in their lives. Both that of their ancestors, they tell the stories of the Exodus over and over again. They tell the stories of Abraham over and over again. They just rehearse those things over and over again. And at the same time, they tell the story of God's activity in their lives currently. And it's a thing that happens corporately. And so one of the things that I've been trying to figure out a way to do that would be neat, I don't mean neat like cool, I mean neat like convenient and not messy, would be to figure out a way for us as a community to do corporate storytelling. And the conclusion that I came to is there's just no neat way to do that. There's just no neat way to be a community that shares life together and tells stories and at times doesn't allow it to get messy. And so last week after I told the story of Abraham and Sarah and Haggai, I had a young woman who came up to me and said, here's what's been going on in my life. I feel like as you teach this stuff, I feel like God's doing this stuff in my heart and I feel like I need to respond. I feel like I need to tell somebody what God is doing in my life. And should I tell people what's going on? I mean, do we want to do it? And I said, well, not tonight, but tell you what, next week. And so what I've done is we've decided to make tonight a time of the telling of stories. Okay? And so what I've done is and what I've asked us to do is to reckon with, as you think about your life, how has God been active in moving in your life? What is the story of God's activity in your life to date? And I don't mean at what point did you discover who God was and surrender your life to Him, although that's an incredible story. But what has God been doing in your life lately? And not just individually, but as a part of this community. What has it meant for you to be a follower of Jesus as a part of Jacob's well? And how has God been engaging with you in your life and in your story? And we're just going to take some time tonight. We're actually going to pass a mic around. We're going to open it up and just listen and talk about the way that God has been active in our lives, bearing witness to the activity of God individually and in our lives corporately. Okay, but here's the deal. I'm going to set up some guidelines around this about how we do it, okay? Some of you may get up and you may share for 10 or 15 seconds and that will be glorious. And others of you will get up and you'll have more to say and it will be glorious as long as you don't go longer than 4 minutes. Okay? So what I'm going to ask is for those of you who feel like you have something to share, something to contribute about what you feel like God has been doing in your life, particularly around here and in response to what we've been experiencing as a community together, I want you to limit what you're sharing from 2 to 4 minutes because it's just too hot. And after 3 minutes, you're going to lose everybody anyway. Okay? Second, this. What we really want you to do is talk about yourself, not somebody else. Okay? You don't get up and tell a story that somebody else related to you about something that happened in their life, nor do you out somebody next to you about something that's going on in their life, right? You don't say, well, this is my friend here, and they'd never get up and share this, but I just got to tell you what God's been doing in their life. Right? We all agree not to do that to each other, right? And then the last thing, just by way of just a guideline that I think helped make this fruitful. We don't take time here to share. We want to be authentic. We want to be vulnerable. And sometimes we even want to risk in the terms of the sharing of what's going on in our lives. We don't want to inappropriately unzip our soul and share things that are inappropriate for a group this big, that you don't ever significantly share with another group of people an unconfessed sin or something, that this is just not the appropriate place to do this. And so it is important when we're struggling to unburden ourselves, but those things have to happen in safe environments. And so this is not a place for the unburdening of the soul as well. Everybody in agreement on that? Yes, good, good. Well, then in that case, that's going to be kind of the groundwork. I'm going to sit up here on this stool and try not to pass out. And I'm going to invite Brent and Adam up here, and they're going to be our kind of producers like on the Oprah show. And these guys are going to run around. And as you decide that you would have something to share, I invite you to raise your hand. And I'm going to start off with Katie. And Katie is the young woman who came up to me last week and wanted to volunteer something in response to what we were talking about. And Brent, if you want to take this side. And then after Katie shares, I'm going to ask Laura to share. And then we're going to open it up and I'll kind of direct people where to go. So good. Katie, please.
Hi. Hi. Before I tell my story, I just want to say kind of along the lines of what Tim was saying, but I just really felt like, as Tim was talking about Abraham and as we looked at his story, that, so often we look at people within the Bible and we kind of set them up on sort of a pedestal type position, that they were these amazing people that, all did all these amazing things. At least that's what I tend to do. And when we were talking about Abraham last week, I was just hit by the messiness of Abraham and Sarah's lives. And I just felt like God was placing on my heart that this was the time and the place to share how he had worked in the midst of the messiness of my life. And so I don't share today, I don't know how to say this. My goal in sharing today is not that she would look at me, but that your consideration, your eyes would be on God and his incredible love and faithfulness to us. So in light of that, a little over 3 years ago, I was in a dating relationship that I knew really, really clearly from God that he really did not want me to be in that relationship. But I just couldn't seem to make myself get out of it. I don't know what happened. But I was sort of counting on this day when I was going to move away for that to be the end. And that was sort of my escape. And the night before I moved away, the man I was dating raped me. And as a result of that, I found out that I was pregnant. In the midst of all the emotion that came with that and everything that I was going through, God spoke into my life, mostly through the people around me, because I think I was having trouble hearing him over all my emotions. But he just really spoke into my life that what man intends for evil, God intends for good. Hmm. And that this child was God's redemption of the evil that had taken place. And so, this is one of those things that simultaneously you want everyone to know so they don't make assumptions about you, but at the same time you don't want anyone to know. But people look at my life now. My son is 2.5. I'm a single mom, a full-time student, just moved here, not from the area, and people say, wow, you're crazy, that must be so difficult. Lots of times I'm tempted to look at it that way too, to be sort of taken in by how difficult this is and by the memories that Nathaniel could bring back. That's my son. But there is always that flip side of God constantly speaking into my life. This is my redemption. This is your life redeemed in me.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie. And let me just say just a couple things too. Would you, as you stand up, will you please introduce yourself? Just first name. And then also, it is natural to spontaneously to want to appreciate someone for sharing, but also let's not feel like we have to do that every time someone shares as well either. But again, as the Spirit leads. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura.
Yeah, and feel free to turn around, please, and find out where people are talking from.
You can turn around when the words aren't right on the screen. You want to turn around. Now's your chance. I have an amazing fear that when I start speaking in front of a lot of people that I'll absolutely go blank on what I'm trying to say. And because my story is more about the story of ideas that has been really influenced over the past 6 years that I've been at Jacob's Well. And so I felt like that was an important thing to share. And it has to do with going from a lot of ideas that are in my head and how God has transformed that into more observing life through my heart. I think I've always tried to figure out what the rules were, what's black and white, what's wrong, black and white, what's wrong and right, so that I would know in any given situation what the deal was. And I've just learned over time that that's not what God intended. And it's a revelation of God's sort of infiniteness and all-encompassing character that is incredibly beautiful. It's incredibly beautiful in its simplicity and complexity. I was raised in a Catholic family, and contrary to a lot of stories I hear of how that has been damaging or hurtful to people growing up in that atmosphere, I actually really greatly appreciated that foundation in my faith of being a Christian and just loved the traditions, and that really formed my relationship with God. As I was in college and was both attending Catholic Mass, I also met friends who encouraged me to attend Protestant services. It even sounds odd to say it in those terms, but and I would hear how they would say things like, you know, you don't quite get it if you're still going to Catholic Mass. And it was kind of an interesting thing. I was puzzled by that. After college, I spent a year in Poland, which is like 99.9% Catholic. And I met some amazing Christians there that it was at a time when the wall hadn't come down yet. And there was incredible faith throughout the country that really exhibited Jesus. People exhibited Jesus in their lives. I then came back to the U.S. and just found myself always in an odd place when people referred to the other side in a somewhat derogatory way. And so one thing about Jacob's Well that I love is that, for those of you that don't know, we're non-denominational. And it's not that denominations are a bad thing. It's just that, for me, I've learned that they are so not important, that if we are looking at God and His essence, it's beautiful to look at people through that light. And in a similar way, there's this movie out this past year called What the Bleep Do We Know that really began the discussion about God and science. And it makes you think about, you know, just like creation versus evolution. All of the dichotomies that we argue about in our lives, pro-life, pro-choice, Democrat, Republican, Red Sox, Yankees, things like that.
Don't pretend like you haven't taken a side there.
Go Sox. It's just, I guess all of that is to say that there are no rules, that there is truth in many things. And even in hearing Tim talk, having discussions in the community, reading Brian McLaren, who even introduces the notion of, is there truth in other faiths, in the Muslim faith, in Buddhism? Or, you know, all of those things are, God is present everywhere you look. And it's just been a big part of this community for me has been able to explore that and feel free to see all of those different sides and see Jesus present in all of them.
Thanks, Laura. Yeah, if you want to share, the appropriate way to do that is to do this. If nobody's hands goes up, that might mean like, yeah, we just want to go home. Yeah, okay, right here, Adam.
Hello, I'm Seth, and I'm from Washington State. And I've been here for like 3 or 4 weeks, but one of the things that God's been really showing me over the last couple of years, I've been fighting with God about, you know, I used to play music and stuff and tour around and do all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I really like to play music. I love it. I really enjoy it. And it's one of those things where God's like was waiting for me, you know, to kind of take what I love to do and lay it down before Him. And over the last couple of years, it's been interesting because God's just been like, I've been going to try to do different things and, you know, going to church every Sunday, doing things like that, and thinking, oh, you know, I'm on the right path. I'm doing what I should be doing. But God just kept on closing doors. And I was like, wow, you know, what's going on and stuff. And I eventually figured out that, you know, God had other plans and things. And he was just really trying to make me pay attention. And through all that, God kind of showed me, he's like, you know, it's good for me to have those desires and wants and things to do, but really try to tune in and find out what it was God wanted. And so about a month ago, I actually got a call from a lady named Denise Clark, who some of you might know, but we were coming through town about a year or two ago, and I saw what she was doing downtown and stuff, and God really grabbed a hold of me. But he's just really been working in my heart, and I guess it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, wherever you're at, whether it's, you know, sitting here or at home or something, really find out what it is that God's, you know, really, I guess, trying to pull you towards, or what it is, you know, don't fight it. Just take what you have and go for it. Because I, for a long time, didn't think I was ready. I was like, I'm not ready to do that. I'm not. But God, the whole time, God's like, you're never going to be ready. You know what I mean? So I just encourage you guys, don't limit yourselves thinking, you know, I gotta wait. I got to be ready. I got to get ready. That's the beauty of walking with God, is you can step out. And that's the whole thing about faith, stepping out, knowing that you can't do it, but God can. So I just wanted to share that with all you guys. So.
Thanks, Steph.
My name's Dara, and I've been going here for a while. I moved up moved to Kansas City in February, and just to set kind of a base for the story, this like year and a half maybe has been pretty crappy with the Lord, and so that's the base. And I signed up for classes for fall, which I haven't done for a long time, and upon doing that, they said that I would get some sort of transfer award. I was like, yay, transfer award. And whenever I moved up to my building in February, they told me that one of the things that I was not allowed to do because of some sort of governmental thing was to sign up for full-time classes, and I couldn't make over a certain amount of money a year. And I was like, oh, not a problem. I'm just going to take some few classes during the fall, and that's going to be that. Well, whenever I signed up for classes, I was like, oh, transfer award. I'm going to go full-time. And so I completely forgot about that rule whenever I signed up for classes. And so I signed up full-time, and after I got my financial aid information, I found out that the amount of money that they told me that I was going to get was a lot more than I expected, and it was after... Ooh, I'm shaking. It was after I had realized my dilemma with going full-time and everything of that nature. So I was like, Lord, what do I do? I don't know if I should drop classes or if I should move out of my building and pay more rent. I'm not really sure what to do. And upon my deciding this, I got in a wreck and my car got totaled. At least I thought it got totaled. And my dad was like, you're not going to be able to fix it. You're going to have to buy another car. And I was like, oh, I don't have money for this. And I wasn't worried, but the Lord gave me a peace about the whole thing whenever I was actually in the middle of it. And so one day I called the lady that rents the building, and I was like, is there any way to work around this that I might be able to stay inside this building? And she's like, well, let me see if I can find any loopholes. And so the next day I called her, and she was like, well, basically it would be a don't ask, don't tell situation. You know, like, you, if anybody finds out about it, you just tell them you didn't know, and they'll, you know, I'll just tell them that I didn't know you were going. And I was like, great, sounds like a plan. Let's go with it. And obviously it was the wrong plan, but I wrestled with myself for a couple hours trying to figure out, Lord, what do you want me to do? But it's such a perfect plan, because I really enjoy the place that I live in and the location and all that kind of stuff, and the price is really good. And I called her back. I was like, you know, I don't really think I can do this, because it just doesn't feel right, and it might cause you to lie or me to lie. And I'm not saying that so that I can be like, oh, good job, pat on the back there. But I say that for a minute. I'll get back to that. But before she called me back and told me that, or before I called her back, I found out that my car, my dad's like, dude, you're going to have to get a new car. I'm sorry. And I was like, oh, crap. And then he called back a couple hours, and he was like, you know what? It's not as bad as it looked. It was just going to cost like $350 to fix your car. I was like, ah, praise the Lord. And then after I called her back, I told her I just wanted to look at a few apartments and stuff like that. Well, the next day, whenever I went to go look at those apartments, she was like, you know, we have this building open up, and I'm just going to show it to you. And it's actually right across the street from where I live. And it costs the same amount of money to live in as where I live now. And it's bigger than where I live now, which is an amazing gift of the Lord. Just that he is so stinking cool to bless you and to give you those desires of your heart whenever you're in a place where you don't feel very close to him. And whenever you don't feel like you feel everything's crappy, that's okay. The Lord is still faithful, and he's still good.
Thanks, Star.
Try.
There you go.
My name is Ian, and I have a story of a thought process, a train of thought that hit me the other day. This is actually the first time in about a month and a half that I've been able to come to church, because I've had two jobs that both occur on Sundays. Dang. And the other day it was really beginning to wear on me how much I had suffered, how much I wasn't really thinking about God all the time or trying to talk to him, trying to devote as much time as I could. I was just kind of forgetting him every day. And so I decided to spend some time purposefully looking for God in whatever I saw around me. And the first thing that I saw was driving down the highway. The first thing I saw was a bunch of litter on the side of the road. And I was thinking, how do I find God in litter? And it occurred to me, the litter is highly visible, but really it's sitting on this gigantic earth that is organic, and God created it. The litter being man-made, but it's just minuscule compared to what it is actually sitting on. And so I was thinking about that. That's really cool. Well, God is a whole lot bigger. And then it occurred to me that also litter, maybe not necessarily tires or trash, whatever, in our lifetimes, will we see those kind of things decay? But all litter at some point decays, and in that spot is fertilized. And something in that spot grows. And I was thinking, oh, well, hey, I'm seeing God, and I'm seeing kind of an analogy of sin in this, that sin, the litter in our lives, God can take that and decay it and grow something out of that that he couldn't have grown without the fertilizer that came from the decay. And actually, when I thought of that, I thought, oh, well, hey, that's a good analogy, because the bigger something, bigger piece of litter, the more fertilizer. The bigger the sin, that doesn't stop God from forgiving me. He's just more likely to be able to take that and make something more out of it.
Thank you.
I was going to tell my friend about this, and then I forgot. So now I got to tell you.
Thank you.
My name is Kristen, and I'm from up north, actually, and I just graduated from college, and I am a nurse at Children's Mercy Hospital. And one of the big things in the nursing world that means life and death is passing your boards, your state nursing boards. And I just took my boards and I passed, thank God. But but through that whole situation, I guess I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I thought, God, come on, you know, I've given everything I can, and if you could just take over the rest and get me through this stupid test, then, you know, that would just be great. And so I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and then the minimum amount of questions you can take is 75, and I got to 75, and I kept going. And so I was like, okay, God, you know, I need a break. And so I went out and took a break and got my Bible out of my locker and went outside in the hall and read a couple verses about faith from Hebrews, and then came back in, and the lady at the desk said, "What is that in your hand?" And I said, "It's my Bible." Well, she took my Bible from me and told me that she was going to have to go through it and make sure that I hadn't written any nursing information in the good book. So I actually got really, really upset then. And I got back and your video and voice recorded, fingerprinted, ID checked, everything. And I just lost it. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to pray. And then I thought, oh my gosh, there are 100 people watching me. So anyways, I got done with the test, and when I walked out, the lady who took my Bible came over to me and grabbed me and just hugged me and started crying and said, "I am so sorry, I had to take your Bible." And I was like, "Oh, me too, but that's okay." And she said, "You know, sometimes these things just happen for a reason." And I realized in my Bible I have a lot of things highlighted and stuff written and lots of little notes that I keep because I also am a youth intern at our church up north. And so I work with the youth group, and I just have all those little notes that are just basic lessons in the Lord that she would have had to read through and make sure that there wasn't any nursing information in them. And then her and I got to talking about why I took my test so early and how I needed to do it because of the youth group, and we're getting ready to leave for church camp. And she said, "You know, well, now you have a story that you can tell the kids at camp about this crazy lady who took your Bible during your test, and you learned something, and she learned something." And I was like, yeah, that's definitely something that I'll have to do. And so I guess my point is that even through certain situations that God gives us, we can grow spiritually closer to God. But then also, through those situations, you may not plan it, but other people can grow spiritually to God. And in that being her possibly growing somehow, I pray about it, and I hope that she got as much out of it that she could. And then also the youth group, taking it even to a further extent, that I can tell the story and possibly they can get something out of it. So that's what I had to say.
Thanks. Couple more.
That's really loud. Hi, y'all. I'm Ashley. And I guess I've been coming here off and on for like 4 or 5 years. But let me start out by saying the last couple of years of my life, spiritually, have just been very dry. It's kind of been, they've looked great on the outside. Things have been great at school. They were my first 2 years of college, and God blessed me in a lot of ways. But it was all, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to do it in my strength, and God, I know you're there and that's great, but I'll call you if I need you. And so I went through the first couple years and just really just struggling inside. And last January, I went to see my doctor over Christmas break, and long story short, they found a tumor on my pituitary gland, which, for those of y'all that aren't nursing majors, the pituitary gland's like right there underneath your brain, right at the back of your eyes. And it was the size of a racquetball, apparently, and had been there for some time. And just rocked my world. It was, the spring was full of doctor's visits, and I think I saw more ologists than I know what to do with. But I learned lots of really cool words, by the way. But anyways, the whole time, like, it was something God was working in my body and working in my life, and I didn't want to see it. I'm kind of stubborn, and I kind of, like I said, want to do things on my own strength and my own way. And I didn't tell anybody about it. None of my friends at school knew. I told a couple of my closest friends. Other than that, I didn't want people to look at me and be like, oh, Ash has a tumor. And so didn't tell anybody. Just was walking it on my own. And surgery happened in March and was amazing. They got most of it out. They had some problems. I spent 6 days in ICU, which is not fun. I pretty much spent 6 days in the dark by myself with nothing to do but think. And, you know, after surgery, like, I'd like to tell you that I just all of a sudden realized how amazing God had been and how he'd, you know, shown the doctors where to go and how to get everything out. And but I didn't. I went back to school and was determined to finish all my classes, and I did. And, but, you know, there were days when I could not physically focus. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever had any sort of head trauma, but I would sit in class, and I had about, you know, 20 minutes of mental capacity, and then I was done. I was either asleep on my desk or zoned out, and I needed to leave. And, but basically, the long story short is that, like, this summer, it just really hit me how amazingly faithful God has been, despite, like, me not wanting him to give him the glory. Like, I had so many opportunities last spring to tell people, you know, God has been doing this in my life, and instead, I didn't. And, but it's been neat this summer. I worked at a camp and got to share with some kids kind of what had been going on. And I just want to take the opportunity to glorify him in that. Like, looking back at the way he guided the doctors and the way he helped them find the tumor, I had, you know, they shouldn't have been able to find it. I had it for so long. But they did, and, you know, he's healed my body. They didn't have to shave my head. Little things like that, just walking alongside me and carrying me throughout a lot of it. And so he's amazing, and he's faithful even when I don't deserve it and I don't want to see it. So, yay. That's it.
Thanks, Ash. Yeah, maybe just one or two more here.
Hello, everyone. My name is Derek. To preface the story, I will say that aside from my day job, I also serve in the armed forces in the military reserve, and I drill with a unit that's located in St. Louis. When drilling down there on our weekends, on Sundays, we're supposed to have chapel service provided if we wish to participate, but due to shortage of personnel in my 2 years of being there, I've seen that happen maybe twice. And while I know nothing about giving instruction in that capacity, there are two things that Tim talked about that really hit home with me. One of them was that sometimes you have to start doing something before you can understand it. Sometimes you have to act before revelation sets in. And the other thing was that by acting in a certain capacity, that you begin to just automatically start trying to live up to what you conceptualize that capacity to be. In response to that, I really started examining this need for chapel services being provided, and I felt compelled. I mean, God working his magic, just do it. And I went forward and requested to begin start giving chapel services and was granted permission to do so. And since then, I have learned so much just because I am now in a position where I'm supposed to be sharing with others. I've learned so much more in doing that than I had previously. It's just been a wonderful blessing for me and has started me out on something that I don't know where it's going, but I'm really enjoying it while it lasts. The capacity to hold service and be able to share these stories with others. In that respect, I don't know, had that not have happened, if I would have ever been called to do it otherwise. And it's just been such a wonderful blessing. And before the first service, I'm kind of the goof of my unit. They kind of looked at me when I asked if I could hold services, and a lot of them decided to come up and participate. You know, I thought that they may be expecting naked tap dancing monkeys or something. I mean, that's kind of what I'd been known for, some strange things. You know, I wasn't always a Christian, and, you know, them sailors, we do some strange things from time to time. But anyway, they came up, and it's not so much a process of conversion for them, but it really opened up a level of curiosity within our unit, and it has really brought us together. Those that have decided to participate in that. And I just think that that's beautiful. Any chance to be able to commune with one another, I just think is a great blessing. And as I said before, I'm not sure where this is going, but I'm really enjoying it while it lasts and just so very thankful for God, or to God to compel me to fulfill that need.
Good. Good.
Hey folks, I don't know if you noticed this right now, but our one working air conditioner just died. So, you just, one more here. Last one. Go ahead.
Hey, my name is Greg. I just moved here about 10 months ago from New York. Yay, New York. We were blessed with the spirit of revelation that Kirk Schilling is clearly the man of perdition. anyway... I just wanted to share, I just recently went to a conference in St. Louis, and it was for a Christian organization, and for years and years, I was a prodigal. I was out in the world participating in a variety of activities, organized crime, and a bunch of bad stuff, and God really drew me back in a couple years ago, and for the past 2 years, I've really rededicated my life to God and seen amazing fruits of the Spirit, just amazing love and awesome prophetic words and all types of great stuff we read about in the Bible. Anyway, so I went to this conference, and God presented me over and over and over again with the opportunity to pray with mothers that have prodigal sons. And this blessed me, and I think this ties in with what he was talking about, is that sin being a fertilizer for fruit. And for me, I know that God took that and turned around that what I thought was wasted years of my life, and he turned it around into something that I can, into weight that I can apply in prayer, and weight that I can apply in sharing my testimony with people, and saying, no, it doesn't, God will show you, it says in Isaiah that he'll show us the pit from where, the quarry from which we're dug, and the rock from which we're hewn. Like, he'll show you what you're made of. You know what I mean? And he's really done that for me, and the opportunity to share that with moms, that I know my mom sweated over me in prayer, that I can do that with a mother and just say, no, you know, there's hope. Your son, your daughter can come back. God is, his arm is not too short to save.
Thank you.
Michael, do you want to share real quick? Mike?
My name is Mike. I usually am here in the morning working with the pre-K and K kids. I kind of walked into Jacob's Well probably a year and a half ago, and I've really appreciated being able to find a place where I can just get close to kids and families and just see them on a week-to-week basis grow and change and get close enough to them to pray with them and for them. I really appreciated just being able to be a part of this church. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, you guys, I'm gonna wind us up here, and I want to close by just sharing a passage of Scripture out of the Psalms. Psalm 111, the first verse says this. It says, "Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly of his people." See, I think that when we think about the work of God, we tend to think about it historically, don't we? And if we rehearse God's saving deeds, we often do it by singing what God has done in other people's lives. And I think that the invitation that we live with is to be people who are constantly rehearsing the work of God in our lives and sharing them with people around us. I've got this friend who's from New Zealand. His name's Andrew Jones, and he is in England right now. And he really is just a bizarre and creative guy. And his read on the gospel is this, that the gospel is really two activities, throwing parties and sharing stories. If you read through the scripture and the ministry of Jesus, that what you see Jesus doing over and over and over and over again is throwing parties and telling stories about God. And I think that that's the invitation for our lives as well, that we are a people who are great at throwing parties and who become extraordinary storytellers. Are you a good storyteller? I mean, do you even pay attention to your life in that way? Because God is writing out his story in your life, and you can miss it. And so I think about what we do here tonight as simply rehearsing and practicing storytelling so that when we have the opportunity out in the world and when God calls us, we have stories to tell. We've practiced telling them, what is the story of your life? And where do you see God's thumbprint on you and in your story? Because I believe that that's what we're called to do, is to be people who tell stories. Now, who knows if we keep doing this or not? I think there's something fruitful about us coming together and rehearsing together the stories of God's activity in our lives and reckoning with and recording marks. You know, one of my favorite stories is when God calls Joshua to lead the people through the river into the promised land, and the water is divided. And he sends 12 elders to go back into the water and to take a rock from the middle of the river, and then to build an altar. And he says, you do this because then when your children see this altar, they will say, what is that? And you will tell them that the Lord brought me through this place. And so if we don't stop and reckon with God's activity in our lives, then we forget. And worse than that, we lose the ability to build something that other people look at and say, tell me about that. You understand what I'm saying? And so what is your story tonight? Only a handful of people shared, but I'm convinced that each of us right now are reckoning with something that God is doing in our lives. And as we wind this part down and as we move into communion, I just ask you, you didn't share tonight, but you could have, many of you, what would you have said? What would you have spoken? And guess what? Dara over here said, my relationship with God has been crap. You know what? The Psalms are filled with laments about people who feel abandoned by God. That's part of the story too. And that's a legitimate way to get up and talk about our story with God, is to reckon with his absence. Because that is a part of our lives as well at times. What is your story? What would you tell tonight if you were asked? And as we come into communion, let me ask you to reckon with that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are...